In the name of Allah, hello and welcome to Spectrum Iran, Saad Television's weekly program focusing on topical issues concerning the Islamic Republic. Iran marks the 20th anniversary of the demise of the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, on Thursday, June the 4th. The nation is also going to the polls 8 days later to take part in the country's 10th presidential elections. The late founder of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, had on various occasions stressed the importance of people's presence and participation in all arenas of life as an Islamic duty, especially the one at the polls. In this edition of Spectrum Iran, we're going to talk about elections and their importance as far as Imam Khomeini was concerned. And to help us in our show, we have the pleasure of being joined by former Madam Vice President, Dr. Masoom Eftekar, who is currently a member of Tehran City Council. Dr. Eftekar, welcome to Spectrum Iran. It's a pleasure to have you again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me.
Likewise. Before we get into our discussion, let's take a listen to the introduction about elections and Imam Khomeini. Stay with us. The Islamic Revolution in Iran, under the leadership of the late Imam Khomeini, gained victory on 11th of February 1979, and by doing so, it put an end to the tyranny of the Pahlavi regime. The Islamic Revolution produced profound changes towards democracy at great speed. Iran officially became an Islamic Republic on 1st of April 1979, when millions of Iranians overwhelmingly approved a national referendum to make it so. The first presidential election in Iran on January 25th, 1980, took place within a year of the victory of the revolution. Imam Khomeini believed in empowering the people and stressed the importance of people's presence in all arenas of life as an Islamic duty, especially the one at the polls. The late founder of the Islamic Revolution maintained that the Republic is the form of government and Islam is its contents. Imam Khomeini repeatedly stressed the fact that the establishment belonged to the people and they are their own guardians. He emphasized the importance of elections and the role of public participation by saying people's vote is the ultimate criterion. Now, 30 years on, since the victory of the revolution, the Iranian nation will once again make its massive presence felt in the political arena. The Islamic Republic is gearing up for the 30th election in its history, with the 10th presidential elections on June 12th. The current incumbent is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is running for re-election. Ahmadinejad is competing against former Prime Minister Mir Hossein Mousavi, ex-Parliament Speaker Mehdi Karroubi, and a former head of Revolutionary Guards Corps, Mohsen Rezaei. Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. Dr. Eftekar, without further ado, would you please tell us about the late Imam's views of empowering the Iranian nation?
Well, I think that the most important time frame which we could look to get a holistic picture of Imam's view on what he expected the Islamic Republic of Iran to be was the initial months after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Well, we had millions of people practically marching in the streets during 1979. The overwhelming support of the majority of the people led to the downfall of the Shah's regime.
Mm-hmm.
And the establishment of the Islamic Republic was actually announced in the slogans that the people had in the streets. So many people, after Imam returned back to Iran from exile, many people believe that this is finished. This is now, people have asked for an Islamic Republic, and this is an Islamic Republic, and there was this debate, or this is an Islamic state. But we should go on with the other different aspects of establishing a state.
Mm-hmm.
But Imam was very clear that he intends to have a democratic referendum,
right,
about what the Iranian people actually think the future of the political system of the country should be.
Right.
Many people appealed to Imam that there's no need for a referendum. People have announced their views in the nationwide demonstrations, and it's very clear that the majority of the people have been in support of this revolution.
Which was, because they actually took to the streets,
exactly,
and toppled the...
Exactly, it's very evident. But Imam had a very, very interesting response. He told these associates that you don't understand politics and you don't understand history, because in the future, people will come and they'll make an assessment about the revolution, and in that assessment, they will say that there never was an official referendum with international standards,
mm-hmm,
where actually people would be free to cast their vote and to decide about the future, the political system of the country. And since this is one of the founding pillars of the Islamic Republic, there should be a referendum. So this was a very important, I think, statement that Imam made, and with a lot of philosophical backings. The
mm-hmm.
fact that, Imam Khomeini is the architect of a modern Islamic Republic. He is the theological figure who promoted the idea of the Islamic jurisprudence, or the Wilayat al-Faqih. And he has so much emphasis on the role of the people and the democratic aspect of this newly established republic. And so the referendum takes place, and Imam is very, very serious about seeing the referendum taking place within the international norms and standards, the
mm-hmm.
acceptable standards in today's world. And he stresses on the fact that people are free to vote for or against the Islamic Republic. They can, and the referendum was a yes and no, very clear. Either you want an Islamic Republic
or
not. And you're free to vote, and he made it very clear. People are free to vote for whatever they want. And there was another debate as well on whether this is an Islamic state or it's Islamic Republic, or it's an Islamic Democratic Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Imam, he stood very firmly on his belief that this, what we are establishing here and what the people were after and sought during the revolution, was establishment of an Islamic Republic. That means an institution based on the teachings of Islam, based on the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih, but at the same time, very democratic in nature, built by the direct decision of the people in determining the type of government that they want, the type of political system, and then the different viewpoints that they hope to see in power in their country. So I think that this was a very, very important stage during our revolution.
Fine. Dr. Abtekar, would you now briefly turn to the compatibility between Islam and freedom, democracy? Would you tell us about the concept of allowing people to take part in order to determine their own destiny and future. How does that hold? What's the view in as far as Islam is concerned?
I think it's quite clear that a Muslim requires understanding, in-depth understanding of the basic principles of the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And accepting Islam is a process with insight, with knowledge, with wisdom, and free will. It's based on a decision that a person makes to be a Muslim. And this decision is totally based on free will. It's very well stated in the Holy Quran that there is no force in religion. There's mm-hmm. no pressure to become a Muslim. But it's based on a freedom of choice. It's based on a awakening that a person acquires due to a higher level of understanding, take mm-hmm. for example. So it's a decision based on free will to become a Muslim in the first place. And in the other case, when a person who is a Muslim honors the dignity of other human beings and their right to decide for their individual decisions, the freedom to decide individually for their lifestyle, mm-hmm. for the different small decisions that we make throughout our lives, there is a freedom which is closely related to that human dignity in which the image in which God created us. And then if that freedom is respected and appreciated properly,
right.
then it translates into a political freedom where a nation is free to decide what type of political system it wants
mm-hmm.
for its future, for its to determine its destiny based on a free will. I think that this is very clearly stated within the edicts and the principles of Islamic teachings.
Right.
And it's also very clearly stated that like any other political system that defines freedom, there are norms and limits and there are values. There is a value system that we have in the religion. And based on that value system, freedom becomes meaningful within the context of that value system. Otherwise, defining freedom in the political sense would be equal to, for example, anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have those norms, those frameworks within which you can define basic individual social freedoms. So I think that if we understand Islam properly, the most appropriate political system in today's world that would be able to meet the standards of Islamic government is a democratic system
mm-hmm.
based on religious and Islamic values. And this is exactly what Imam intended for the Islamic Republic, to honor the free will and the decision of the people,
right.
To enable them to empower them, to give them the opportunity to make decisions about their future, both individual and collective decisions, and also to enable them to take part in all the different aspects of all the different stages of political decision-making, both the legislative processes, then also the executive branch, and in a sense also the judicial, and the leader himself who is elected in this system through a council of experts.
Right.
So practically all the different bodies in the Islamic Republic today are elected by the people, either directly or indirectly.
Or indirectly. Fine. Madam Vice President, would you now tell us why was late Imam Khomeini so keen? Why did he put so much emphasis on people's participation in election? How important is this turnout? Does it really make that much difference if you have a high voter turnout for elections? Because at times we see not so favorable numbers even in Western. So why so much emphasis on this?
Well, the Islamic Republic was to substitute a monarchical regime based on a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. We had a long history in Iran of colonial rule, of dictatorship. And practically the Iranian nation was deprived of the opportunity to decide for their future.
Right.
They were deprived of the opportunity of freedom of expression, of democratic rights. And therefore it was very important for Imam, as a leader of the Islamic Revolution, to make it very clear that this is a revolution based on the will of the people. It is a cultural revolution.
Right.
It's not a type of coup d'etat type of revolution. It's the people coming in with a cultural transformation and understanding a new awakening to the realities of their society,
mm-hmm.
and an understanding that they can take their affairs into their own hands if they decide, if they stand up, if they have the will. They can take their own affairs into their hands. So this sense of self-confidence comes into the spirit of the nation. And then it is very important for such a nation that is facing a lot of obstacles. It's facing a lot of antagonism from abroad, particularly those powers who have lost their opportunities. They've lost their control over the resources in this part of the world, in this country. So it's very important for Imam to maintain a strong popular and democratic backing,
mm-hmm.
where the people would actually be the motivating force and the force to ensure security, stability in the country, and also to move forward in terms mm-hmm. of development, in terms of advancing in different areas. So that is why there's so much stress on the right of the people. There's so much stress on establishing all the different institutions of democracy. There's so much emphasis in every election that we had Imam with us. He was also always emphasizing on the need for the people to come into the scene, because there is also, and you can still see that sometimes in the Iranian society, that there's a sense of a lack of confidence in, mm-hmm. in the government. And it goes back, I think, to that tyrannical rule that we had in our history during mm-hmm. during the monarchs. There was no direct connection between the government, the system, the ruling system, and the people. And there was always this sense of mistrust. So an important mandate that Imam feels that the Islamic Republic has is to replace that sense of mistrust with confidence, and to make sure that the people trust their government, trust mm-hmm. the system that is in power, and believe that they have a role in the making of this whole system.
Right.
So I think that was very conducive to a sense of self-confidence and a sense of trust between the government and the people.
Fine. Dr. Abtekar, as you've just mentioned yourself, the Iranian nation, maybe with a very short exception of the late Dr. Mossadegh, has been deprived of freedom by various autocratic and dictatorial regimes for centuries. How difficult was it in order to put this Islamic democracy into practice, into motion, by late Imam Khomeini?
Well, the physical aspect, the overthrow of the Shah, the monarchical regime, it was actually a long process, maybe beginning several years ago, several decades. We can go even backward, back into history and see. And a lot of sacrifice, a lot of altruism, a lot of people coming into the scene and struggling for freedom, for independence, and for the revolution. This in itself is only the beginning of the revolution. The making of the Islamic Republic is the more difficult stage. And even more difficult than that is the cultural transformation. Mm-hmm. That although the people are aware and now they realize their potentials, they realize that this self-confidence is the key to their success, to their advancement, but still there is this long-term cultural agenda that we have, and that is to ensure the different aspects of a democratic society, to ensure that these different processes are implemented, that the people are given the opportunity to, for example, exercise their rights in mm-hmm. terms of freedom of expression, in terms of issues like tolerance, issues which are very important, like political participation, political freedom, political parties who have the political maturity to take part in a viable making of the country. These are issues which I think these are long-term issues. They can't happen overnight. And this is something that we still need to work on to make sure that we have those democratic qualities in our society, a strong civil society, mm-hmm. NGOs, civil society, community-based organizations, activists in different areas, activists and NGOs that could have oversight over the different functions in the government.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these are very, very important aspects of a democratic society. We have achieved a lot. We've advanced a lot in those directions. But sometimes there has been a controversial debate on these issues, particularly during the term of President Khatami and now during the term of President Ahmadinejad. There is this interpretation. I'm not going to judge whether it's correct or not, but that during President Khatami, there was a lot of emphasis on the need for a strong democratic nature for the Islamic Republic.
Right.
Whereas during President Ahmadinejad, there was this understanding that we need to go back to those religious values and to strengthen those religious values. But the reality is that we need both. We need to strengthen those religious values, but not necessarily by force, because religion doesn't go along with force, but by working in terms of education, in terms
right.
of providing the opportunity for the young generation to grasp the essence of the religion. And on the other side, we need to work for the true democratization of our society, because without that general growth in terms of understanding, in terms of education, in terms of political maturity, we will never be able to advance and to develop in terms of particularly social development. So both of these two go alongside each other, and weakening one in the favor of the other, it just will not respond. It won't work. And I think that this is an important debate, the question that you made, that can religion and freedom, or Islam and freedom, can they be compatible? Yes, they are mm-hmm. compatible, and we should be able to interpret freedom in a sense that is compatible with Islam, and also we should be able to interpret Islamic edicts in a way that is compatible with human dignity and free will.
Thank you. It's time for us to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to Spectrum Iran. Dr. Massoum Ebtekar, 30 years on, legacy of the late Imam Khomeini still alive. We see election fever all across Iran. The campaigns have heated up since the four candidates were approved by the Guardians Council. Tell us about this. 30 years on, it seems the Iranian nation is as keen and eager like as it was on the first day.
That's very true, and particularly you see that in the young generation that has not directly experienced the Islamic Revolution, mm-hmm. nor are they directly familiar with the teachings of the founder, Imam Khomeini. But still you see that they are very, very enthusiastic about the upcoming elections. They are very concerned about taking part in these elections and about making a proper choice. And there's a very, very lively debate today, not only in Iranian universities, but throughout Iran in every city. I've been traveling with the election campaign, and I've been meeting different groups of people, students, people from all walks of life, and everyone is truly engaged in this election process because everyone understands how important the role of the president is and how the president can take the country into an era of development and advancement, or how certain problems could arise if the president does not have the necessary competency to deal with the major challenges and major issues. And it's interesting because I think that one of the important aspects of a democratic system is the possibility of a peaceful shift of power. Mm-hmm. And that peaceful shift of power happened in 1996 or 7 with the coming of President Khatami, a reformist president, and that was a shift. That was a clear shift of power from the previous, we can say, pragmatic or moderate President Rafsanjani to a more reformist President Khatami. And then after 8 years, during which President Khatami promoted the reform era and his reformist policies, we had the elections of President Ahmadinejad, where again principalists this time came to power with a, we can say, a totally different agenda and a totally different
view on
exactly on different economic, political, social issues in the country. And again today, there's an opportunity, and it seems that this a wave of change is quite evident. People are expecting change, mm-hmm. and I think that this is a clear indication of the political maturity of the Iranian nation and the fact that the Iranian nation takes this opportunity of the elections as granted, as an opportunity to advance, as an opportunity to put back, to put the shortcomings behind, to resolve issues, to reform and make necessary modifications and corrections where necessary, where mistakes have been made, and to make a correct decision. And I think that this is an indication of the fact that in Iran we have a viable democratic system. We do have our flaws or shortcomings like any other political system, but I think that it is now evident more than any time in the history of the Islamic Revolution that the concept of the Islamic Republic, which was a very, very noble concept at that mm-hmm. time, and it still is, because practically every democracy in the world today is a liberal democracy. They might have a religious name. It might be a Christian-like democracy party, like a Christian liberal Democrat party in power. Mm-hmm. But usually there's very little of religion because they have the secular concept of the separation of the church and state. So this is the first example in modern times of a state where we have religion and democracy together, mm-hmm. working together to ensure the stability of a system, of a political system. And I think that what I see today in Iran, the happening of this political fervor, this election process, and the fact that the people are very engaged, they feel that this is part of their civil responsibility, and particularly the young people, the universities, the fever is very, very high, the students are very, very keen, and they're looking for change. And this is very interesting because these young people, they believe in the principles of the Islamic Republic, they believe in the principles of the revolution, and it is exactly in those beliefs that today they are in the forefront of this election campaign, and you see them speaking out, putting forward their concerns, their expectations, what they expect the next president to do in the area of freedoms, civil rights, the economy, the issue of the current inflation rates that we have in the country, the issue of employment, the issue of the environment and the environmental challenges we have in Iran. And so I think that we are advancing by all means in terms of achieving those standards of a democratic society in Iran.
Great. Dr. Iftikhar, you just referred to what you termed as political maturity. What about the health of the democracy in Islamic Republic? What about the achievement made by the Islamic Revolution as far as democracy is concerned, when we have, over the last 115 years, various kings and monarchs either being assassinated or fleeing the country and dying of a lonely death? We had Nasser al-Din Shah, we had Muhammad Ali Shah, we had Ahmad Shah, we had Reza Shah, and we had Muhammad Reza Shah. But in Iran, in the Islamic Republic, as you said, we've had power transferred smoothly, exactly, peacefully, from one president to another, even though their political agenda may have been totally different. Exactly. What does this tell us about the health of democracy in the Islamic Republic?
It tells us that in the Islamic Republic of Iran, there is necessary oversight over all the different functions of the political system, of the state, mm-hmm, beginning from the leader, where we have the Council of Experts. One of the basic functions of the Council of Experts is to supervise over the leader, the functions of the leader. Then we have the the parliament, the Islamic Majlis,
right,
that oversees the functions of the government. The president is elected directly by the people, but in terms of running the country, the executive power that he has is totally under supervision and oversight of the Majlis, the parliament. There is necessary oversight because unlimited power is going to lead to corruption. So in any aspect of power in the country, we have the necessary oversight of the people, or experts elected by the people, or representatives elected by the people, directly or indirectly. And this, I think, ensures the democratic aspects, ensures the religious values, the ethical values. I think that one of the challenges that in today's political world, one of the challenges that secular democracies are facing is the ethical crisis, the moral crisis. Mm-hmm. And this is a true challenge today. In many parts of the world, we see that political parties are facing different types of moral scandals. And the question comes up whether these political parties actually have the qualifications necessary for leadership in their societies. Leadership is a very, very important issue, and there's certain specific qualities, I think the most important of which is the moral and the transparency of the system, the moral qualifications. And this is one of the issues that I think that Iran has been fairly well approaching this issue in its own political system.
Fine. Madam Vice President, as one of the highest-ranking female officials in the Islamic Republic, would you now tell us about Imam Khomeini's views on what he considered to be a suitable candidate for the presidency? You're familiar, you've been granted various audiences with Imam, you're familiar with his way of thinking, with his viewpoints. Tell us what he thought to be the major characteristics of a suitable candidate for the presidency in Islamic Republic.
Imam stressed on character, integrity, moral integrity, as a very important aspect. The fact that the person who gains power should not separate himself from the people.
From the masses.
Exactly, from the masses. And should lead a simple life. That's very important, because mm-hmm. aristocracy and the type of life that the monarchs and their entourage had during those years was totally separate from the people, and there was a very large gap between the lifestyle of the ordinary people and the lifestyle of the monarch. So keeping that attachment with the people, a simple lifestyle, moral integrity, competency, being competent in terms of being able to run the affairs of the country, having enough experience, having enough knowledge, insight on issues. These were the different qualities that Imam stressed upon for a president in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Right. And Dr. Taqa, Imam Khomeini repeatedly maintained the fact that the establishment belongs to the people and they are their own guardians. How would you define this?
The important thing is that it's not only that people are alongside the system, the political system, or that people are only following the system. There's a group elected to make the decisions and they're moving behind them. Mm-hmm. But this is a continual process of integration of the people at different levels of decision making. Take, for example, the rural and urban councils, where the people are involved in local decision making, to the level of other councils, supreme councils, where everywhere people are practically involved in the making of the country.
Right.
So it's not only going along with people or people following the system, but it is having people in the mainstream of the development process, in the mainstream of the making of the country itself. The development process needs needs the participation of the people at different levels. And I think that this was what Imam meant, and he wanted to see a country where the people have the final say in all the affairs.
Fine. And Dr. Taqa, we've had 30 elections in 30 years of Islamic Republic of Iran. How indicative of the fact is that that various establishments in this country are actually based on people's direct votes. We've had presidential elections, legislative elections, city council elections, guardians council election. Does this? How indicative is this? How important is this to have so many elections? Is it just a mere number, or it actually is significant?
The number is very significant in itself, the quantity of the elections,
mm-hmm.
but the quality is also very important, very significant. Not to say that there are no flaws or no shortcomings. As a reformist, I don't agree with for example, the vetting process in many aspects, the way that the Council of Guardians has disqualified many of the candidates in different, for example, parliament elections.
But isn't that what the Constitution says?
No, this is not exactly. Well, the Constitution was modified, but the Constitution is now currently interpreted in the way that the vetting process is a very important process aspect of the election process.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we see that sometimes it takes a political tone.
Mm-hmm.
That means that a certain political group, for example, the reformists are totally excluded. That is a major shortcoming, I think, of the system. We still need to work for reforms. We still need to modify some aspects of the election law. We need to work for more transparency, more accountability in the election processes. And this is an important issue in the upcoming elections. The candidates, particularly the rivals of the current government, they believe that the election process should be very transparent, that they should have the oversight that the independent candidates have according to the law. That should be implemented. That should be closely followed by the Council of Guardians and the Ministry of Interior. So this is a very important issue, and I hope that we have a healthy election process.
God willing. Dr. Abtekar, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this edition of Spectrum Iran. We'd love to have you back in our future editions, and we hope you could give us time. And that's all for tonight. Special thanks to our special guests. We are joined by former Madam Vice President and current member of Tehran City Council, Dr. Masoom Abtekar. Once again, thank you for participation. And if you'd like to send any comments or suggestions to us, please do so by sending us your email at saadtv@irib.ir. That's all for tonight. Good night and God bless.